Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's recording or session, I should say. I imagine many of you will be listening to the recording here on the next topic, next context in Buddhas and Butterflies. We're working with the trauma response, or the context, I should say, as well, of submit and collapse. So let me just talk briefly about what that means, what that is, in case that's a new concept for anybody. So the sort of cycle that we've been through freeze, we've been through fright or flight, pardon me, or in fight, and those tried to come out together. And it's thought that our system initially will try to go for fight or flight. And if it can't somehow do that, then, or if the situation at hand doesn't allow it to do that, then it's going to go into a freeze response where it's going to like play dead and try to numb out. If, however, the freeze doesn't work and we still are seemingly in danger and we're in this situation where that didn't do the trick, then over time the body learns to, okay, I'll just collapse and give up around that all. And those little collapses are often also referred to as a submission or a submit. And within that, there's an energy of giving up, there's an energy of apathy, there's an energy of, why bother? Nothing I do will make an impact anyways. So it's playing dead, but in a very long-term kind of a way. It's like I'm going to play dead and I'm never coming back again kind of energy. Okay. So we're working with now sort of like the depth of the depths. We've been warmed up, we've been prepared, we've been doing this for 10 months. The last couple months, we're going to get into the deeper core stuff. So as we've made our way through all those other layers, this is the time to go just a little bit deeper into diving into the more, sometimes people, clients will refer to them as stubborn areas, which just never seem to open up in their body, or something that just never, ever, ever seems to shift or change in their life. And as you've already heard multiple times, that can potentially tie into the seeds that were planted of issues, disruptions, traumas from the perinatal realm, anywhere from conception all the way through to birth. So I wouldn't be surprised if we end up going to some of that material at some juncture or quite a bit in the next couple of months as we work our way through our next 8 sessions in this round. Okay. And knowing that we're coming into our, excuse me, final 2 months, I'm still getting used to the rolly chair that I have here. The survey will come out for the other options to choose from for our next year of Buddhas and Butterflies. So I'll send that out within the next week or so. Okay. All right, y'all. Without further ado, there we go. Let's hop on into today's session. Okay. So I'm going to invite you to make any adjustments that you need to. If you could get 1% more comfortable, how might that be? I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in, and to really receive it. Then I'm going to invite you on purpose to orient your brain to something that seems to be pleasant, easeful, or at the very least neutral. I'm going to invite you to actually allow all the senses really to scan your outer or your inner environments. And then notice whatever that is that they've landed on, what you like the most about that thing. And as you savor that, again, appreciating this by means of being really mindful and receiving it, I'll offer these words. Thank you so much for being here as you are. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to your families who created you, your ancestors, your lineages. And the deepest of thank you to all of those that have caretaken and stewarded the very lands that have nourished all of us, all of those that came before, and all of those yet to arrive. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be nourished by your labors, by your efforts. Blessings on your journey today. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. And as we move into this first session on collapse, submit, I'm going to invite you to take time to note not just what this particular session might offer you, but what the next series, what this next 8 weeks can offer you. In other words, get really intentional here. If the next 8 weeks could do anything for you, what would that be? Another way we could say that is, what's left? This year that's offered you an opportunity to dive into different avenues, different explorations within yourself. What remains out of what you wish to receive? What you wish to explore? What you wish to be curious about? And as you turn your attention towards your intentions, they get to work together here. If it feels right, just make a mental note of that, or you can even make a little note on the chat feature if desired. What's the next 8 weeks? What's your orientation towards that? What's the seed you want to plant? Getting as mindful as you can be about that. And noticing how the body seems to respond to that all. And I'm going to invite you to imagine those intentions as like a little seed. And I'm going to invite us to take that seed and plant it into the element of earth. And then we're going to bring in hydration to the earth element itself, which, although the stomach and the spleen are the obvious associations from a Chinese medicine perspective, I'm going to argue that every single part of you is composed of a bit of earth. Your body is fashioned from the clay of this ground, of this planet. And as we hydrate that all, bringing in water, joy, releasing any impurities that no longer need to be here, we're also going to run lymphatic drainage through stomach, spleen, and earth alike. Draining out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Then we're going to run a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. This is through the family lines. We're going through dad's side of the family. We're going back 8 generations on the emotional frequency of fear. And it's the fear that says, I don't know if I can make this. I don't know if I can get out of this jam. I don't know if I can survive this. I don't know if I'll be able to pull this one off. So it's working with the deep core fear of not just survival for self, but survival for the family. And underlying this is the belief system of I don't have what it takes. I don't have what this takes. This is bigger than me. This challenge, it's too big. It's too big for me. It's bigger than me. What am I supposed to do with that? And if that theme resonates for you, I'm going to invite you to imagine yourself as a little one and notice how old you are here. And whatever age shows up for you, I'm going to invite you to imagine that the part of you listening to the session, that's the adult here with me, can step in to offer that little one support by means of offering touch, comfort, and words. Offer them loving, tender words. And as they rest in your arms, receiving all that you're offering to them, they may have something to say about the places that they've been stuck. They may have a bit of a burden they wish to share with you, making space for them to be heard by you. And as you observe that all, as you take that in, breath by breath, offering them that same comfort, touch, words, connection, love. Perhaps this little one has been here waiting for you all this time. And now that you're together, taking every opportunity to comfort, to soothe, and to make sense of what it is they've been through, helping them to reconcile and understand their journey and their pain. And that might sound something like, hey, that thing that you were trying to do, that actually really was too big for you. That doesn't mean anything wrong about you. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you or what you tried to do. In fact, you did a really good job trying to pull that off as a little one. And that honestly is something that even sometimes adults can't do. And I'm so sorry you thought that that meant something wrong or bad, or that you were a failure or anything along those lines. And I'm here with you now. You can rest with me now. And if that's true for you, then I'm going to invite you to imagine that that little one can come to live inside of you, potentially in your heart space or anywhere else if that doesn't seem to be quite right. And wherever that little one ends up living, heart space or otherwise, we're going to offer circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help your nervous system, your immune system, and for that matter, most of your body mind to heal. Also working with the balance of yin, feminine nourishment, to yang, masculine protection. And then bringing in another round of hydration here, helping the cells to take in water, joy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. And as we create this nourished resource place for that little one to rest, if it feels right to you, and if you're open to it, I'm going to invite you to check in on your little one from time to time in the coming days, in the coming week. then offering them your gratitude, your thankfulness for being with you on this journey, for being open to having received and shared in the ways that they have. And again, letting them know that you'll check back in with them maybe later today, tomorrow, whenever it's right for you. Next up, we're working with an emotional release of overwhelm. And I see it hooked into the bladder meridian. And it's almost like a claw going around the back body, upper back, neck, and coming around the head and hooking into bladder 1 points in the inner corners of the eyes. So when we work with, not when we, but this portion of the bladder meridian, it's carrying some overwhelm, in particular around trying to figure things out that are just double binds that actually don't have a logical answer to them. And there's this panic, there's a sense, if I can't figure this out, like I'm really in deep shit. So looking at the more extreme fear, more extreme anxiety that borders potentially on panic or even terror. And combined with that, there's also the sense of tremendous pressure, which is what's amping up the fear all the way to panic and terror. And if the pressure itself could talk, it would say something like this: this is all on you. Do or die. Do or die. And here we're running a cellular repair. This isn't through the family lines. This is acquired in this lifetime from all those times of extreme stress that never actually got a chance to be processed and still have residual shock, which is literally creating disorientation. And this is going all the way back into the time around your birth. And we're looking at potentially a few different things, but potentially within the labor and delivery process, any medications that you would have received, potentially through mom, as she may have received painkillers or anesthetic of some sort, or if she was in a C-section state, then knocked out with the deeper anesthetic, not just an epidural kind of thing, or laughing gas, which is probably more common use of what was happening for most of us during those eras. As well as any chemicals that seem discombobulating that were actually just simply in the environment. So even if you didn't have any received directly, anything that was in the environment that the other people around you may have been on or had in their system, or if you were born in a hospital setting, all the various Western medicines that were surrounding the environments, the birth room. And there was something about your body-mind that was trying to make sense of how this was natural, but it actually wasn't. It wasn't necessarily natural. It wasn't necessarily organic, per se. And there was this switching, or this mix-up, between trying to make sense of the natural world and yet being greeted with alien things within the system, things that weren't natural. And the wires got a bit crossed. It's like, oh yeah, all these chemicals, all these things, these are natural, these are healthy for me. Because why on earth would there be anything other than that present for me right now? And then vice versa, there's almost a sense of rejecting anything that wasn't other than this sort of man-made chemical thing as natural. To the point where the body-mind, the immune system, didn't do the best job then of getting the information that it needed to proceed moving forward. And it continued throughout your life to let in things that were challenging to be with. And different chemicals, challenging for the body-mind itself to be with, not necessarily on a conscious level, but things that made it harder for your body to function. being received and perceived as something natural and readily available, so you just went ahead and consumed that. You had a tendency to take that into the body as perceived nourishment. And all of that, at the root of it, carrying the belief system itself, that somehow there's nourishment in things that are actually not nourishing at all. And it sets a stage for you to also accept things that weren't natural in terms of healthy behaviors from other people, particularly men, as natural. So it sets a cycle, it sets a stage for challenging relationships to be perceived as nourishing. So the stage for challenging behaviors, particularly that men express as nourishing, which then in turn created a whole lot of confusion and a whole lot of anxiety that wasn't quite the case. So we actually need to go back to when you were first perceiving that original switch. And we're running switching technique here, which works with the kidney meridian acupuncture points that we call switching reflex points, the kidney 21 points here. Pardon me, kidney 27 points. And as we work with these, running natural consciousness of these acupuncture points to restore them back to their natural functional states. And simultaneously also balancing the sphenoid bone. And I can feel like this subtle vibration that's ramping up. And as it ramps up, it's actually expressing and releasing fear. It's releasing deep, deep fear. The type that says, I have to submit to taking in things that are not nourishing for me. And as that layer of fear slides off the sphenoid bone, it actually makes more space for the switching, which works through the optic nerve. If we were doing the switching technique completely all on its own, we were pressed gently but firmly on the eyes until we saw spots or lights activating that optic nerve. 10% of the population doesn't see spots or lights, so don't freak out if that's your case. And we'd hold the switching reflex points. The kidney 27 acupuncture points. And with that layer of fear off the sphenoid, this switching technique can actually do what it's meant to do. And it can uncross those wires for good. And then it becomes a matter of re-educating all the little ones within you that were trapped or frozen at those points in time when they were first originally getting crossed, and helping them to make sense of this new world, helping them to make sense of what nourishment really truly is, what the sweetness of life really truly is. And then we're orienting that to how it is you perceive spirit, God, universe, Allah, Buddha, whatever the word is for you, that which is eternal. And it's helping to also uncross the wires on how it is you perceive that. As we begin to rewire that original separation from formlessness, from spirit, eternal, God, to that of form. Oh, there's so many layers to this popping up. I'm just trying to find the one that's the priority and separating out my own particular personal thoughts on the matter. So bear with me. And my own personal thoughts on this are maybe rationally relevant, as it seems to have been pausing there. So I'll say this, but keep in mind, this does not need to be your particular experience or thoughts around this all. I wonder what it must have taken for God, universe, spirit, creator, the eternal, to move from formlessness to form. And there is this particular point of awe and mystery that's like, wow. Just tremendous wonder and respect around what that would have taken. And to be honest, a certain curiosity of like why? Why move from there to here? And as we work with him, particularly however your mystery is around this realm, it doesn't have to be my mystery, it can be your mystery. What is it to hear the words, I don't know? What if you didn't actually have to have an answer or have to figure it out? What if you got to create a bit more space to take that in, to see that, to perceive that through whatever sensory pathways are available, in a way that was perhaps limited by thinking that you had to have an answer for this? And then we're linking this through to the metal elements to support grief, release, and a sense of loss, and that deep, deep ache or that deep, deep longing that's present that you might not even know, or you might try to cover it up with trying to be oriented to making something happen or achieving or success or working or caretaking or however it is we cover that up. That deep, deep ache, that deep, deep longing for union to, again, the mystery, the realm of spirits, the realm of God. And I wonder what it might be like to begin to perceive that as something in you. Not just out there, but interwoven. Through every breath, through every strand of life, interwoven around the cells, through the cells, interwoven into the life force energy itself that animates you and your expression. And that in turn is linking into the sexual chakra. Here, releasing a fear of men again. What if the act of sexual union was meant to be nothing more than a celebration of the union between you and spirit, God, universe, creator, eternal? What if the sexual act of union was meant to bring you a little bit closer to that essence of your own union between your own human essence and the essence of the divine? What if? What if humanity has made some interesting assumptions and has some interesting takes on sexual essence and union? Which doesn't necessarily mean sex has to be an act of particular devotion. What if it got to be just fun and enjoyable? What if? And what if in the enjoyment and the fun and not taking it too seriously, you actually got to also indirectly have a certain type of devotion that was happening without having to call it devotion or make it a practice of spirituality or anything like that? What if it just simply got to be enjoyed for the sheer celebration of it? And here we're running a defrag through the sexual chakra to begin to flush out, from your perspectives on an individual basis, what's working well for you to keep and what's no longer serving you. As you release any outdated belief systems, in particular those that you might have received from religious influences or from parental influences, those might be one and the same, or from any other societal cultural imprints, finding your own way, your own sense of what this is, and holding your own space amongst all that other information that's around you as we enhance the way chi around your reproductive system, the sexual chakra, and the genitals themselves. Going all the way down through the very legs. And as we enhance that way chi that protects, that synthesizes, that offers healthy communication, I see this as orienting the new ground that you get to stand on to orient towards pleasure, sexual or otherwise. And all the way through the legs, grounding, deepening, rooting into pleasure, into joy. And releasing these ideas that you're somehow supposed to feel guilty or shameful for all of that. What happens if we can drop the mind games that we were indoctrinated with? If you imagine all of that guilt, all of that shame that's familiar to you on the subtle levels, consciously, subconsciously, wherever this is stored, imagine just for now, even if you're not sure if you have this, because it might be buried deep in the subconscious, imagine just for now that I'm going to hold all that guilt, all that shame just for now, so you don't have to. You don't have to. Because I've got it for you. I'm going to hang on to that. If there's any other bits that pop up in your coming week, days, weeks ahead, feel free to hand it to me. I've got large bandwidth in this area. So handing that guilt, that shame, so I can hold on to it, so your body doesn't have to anymore. I've got it. Notice how that is for you in this moment. Notice what it is to tap into pleasure without guilt, without shame. As you hear these words, much like a permission statement, it's allowed to feel good now. It's allowed to feel good now. Giving that time, giving that space to reorient. That might take more than just a couple repetitions of hearing that. That might actually become something that you say, that you offer to yourself in the coming days as homework, if that feels right for you. It's allowed to feel good now. And then we're running a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health for the receptors of pleasure through the maternal lines. We're going back 16 generations. 16 generations of women denied the fullness of pleasure, sexual or otherwise. And as you release this need to strip women of being able to receive pleasure from the family lines and all the societal cultural influences that are wrapped into that all, I'm going to invite you to imagine how you are in pleasure. Doesn't have to be sexual, it can be other than that. How you are in pleasure. And if you could imagine that that was an animal, what animal would that be? What animal would that be? And then, if you had this as a starting point, and you have some sense of, I kind of want more pleasure, like I kind of want to actually deepen into that territory, I'm going to have you imagine and envision the animal that that would represent. What animal would represent that energy for you? Okay, then I'm going to invite you to imagine that you're holding both of those animals. And again, we're releasing the emotion of overwhelm from however those might seem to be different of where you are now and where you'd like to be. Releasing the overwhelm of that transformation. If you feel the call, I'm going to invite you to check in on any animal symbology essences that those relate to so you can flesh out what that is for you and you can deepen into that practice of understanding what this represents for you. There's lots available online. So feel free to Google your individual animals and see what they mean for you. And then we're running one more cell repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health to support your journey. And we're doing that in this animal transformation sort of lineage or line or pathway, that's my word, that you're envisioning, offering a cellular repair through to the kidneys to release the deep, deep fear that it's wrong to orient towards wanting more pleasure. And as you release that, it's also coming out of the adrenals. And with this, releasing the essence of being wrong or bad for this particular desire, along with the need to restrain oneself. And just for now, I'm going to invite you to imagine similarly that I can hold that for you, but we're going to do it in a slightly different way. Imagine that my hands can literally reach through the computer screen. And wherever you feel in your body that you're holding yourself back from pleasure, I'm going to hold it back for you so your body doesn't have to. And as I hold that down, as I hold that back, as I restrain so your body doesn't have to, notice what's possible because I've got it. And then we're running one more hydration through all things kidneys and adrenal and into every area that's being restrained. And what's coming up underneath that all, hydrating that in particular, hydrating the new energy that's here now. Helping it to absorb that water, that joy, releasing any impurities and offering fluidity. Offering almost like an essence of grace inherent from the feminine essence itself as it does so. It's almost like a reclamation of your primal feminine essence and your wild feminine. Man, oh man, does she desire what feels good? Deepening into her pleasure, steeping in that essence. Because she knows this. This is rooted deep within every one of us. And as we welcome her primal, her wild self, her essence to be here now, releasing one more fear of all that's been collapsed, of all that you've been submitting to, of all that said, don't do that, don't go there, that's dangerous. Out of fear itself, were those messages delivered? And just as an experiment, I'm going to invite you to step into that wild feminine primal essence that knows how to delight deeply with wild abandon and pleasure, receiving it as a source of deep, deep nourishment. And I'll again hold all the other things that says you shouldn't do that. Just as an experiment, stepping into it and seeing what it's like. You can always come back right here to where you were before if that doesn't work out well. But I'm going to invite you to take just a half step towards that. Breathing into anything that seems to have been maybe surprising, but somehow good. And if any part of you is like, don't really want to do that, you can always come back to where you were before. But if where you're at right now, deepening into the wild primal essence of the primordial feminine understanding of pleasure, is working well for you, I'm going to invite you to keep going into that by means of breathing and feeling and welcoming and savoring and appreciating. You don't have to hold back here. I'm doing that for you, remember? You don't have to hold back here. And if you want to take another step or a few steps, feel free to do so, moving and advancing at your own pace at the rate of trust. Moving slowly, and again, every step is an experiment, deepening into that. And if any part of that isn't working out well, you can always come back. But if it's okay to do so, I'm going to invite you to keep advancing, deepening into that breath by breath by breath by breath by breath. Bit by bit by bit. And generally speaking, this isn't a quick process. It's a slow process. One that might continue throughout the coming minutes, hours, days, weeks. This is a practice that you can keep returning to as much or as little as you like in the coming weeks, days, who knows, months, whatever feels right for you. We're linking all of this, and you're welcome to stay with that practice as I continue to talk. We're linking all of this to house number 6. So in astrology, they think everything goes through those 12 phases or houses. The 6th house or phase is about practical action, about discernment around what's healthy for oneself. And it's as if all the work that you've done around orienting to pleasure actually becomes something of practical value. And in that practice itself, above and beyond all of the bits and pieces around it and the essence of pleasure itself, there's also the capacity of honoring you, of holding your own, of occupying your own space. So that practice itself offers more than the direct effects of the practice. It offers all the meta benefits and what it means to deepen and to steepen into yourself, holding your own space and valuing you deeply, honoring yourself. Then we're running a cellular repair again. It's cell repair day. This is more on the vaccination side of things. And every time you're injected with a, as vaccines hold, attenuated virus, it elicited the response to have fear in the system. John, this is working off of John's theory, that viruses come in to eat fear. Bacteria comes in to eat anger. So when you have lots of fear, lots of anger in your system, consciously or otherwise, your body-mind will boot up a virus or a bacteria, or you'll become sick because you got infected. And which explains why sometimes people that are exposed to sick people don't always get sick, and sometimes people do. It's like, you were right for it. You had some fear that that virus needed to come in and eat. This is working with that theory, but in a little bit in reverse. So that vaccine that carried the dead virus, attenuated virus, entered the system, the body mind thought, okay, I better give this something to eat. I better give it some food. I better give it fear. And it booted up the need to actually be rooted into the depths of fear on a psychobiological, immunological level. Okay, cool. So as we work through that, we're also releasing almost like the societal belief system that one is meant to live in fear itself. What if that's not true? Now, this might take some time, so I by no means carry the expectation that any one session, cures all the roots of all these things. This is usually the biggest, deepest pattern I see people carry. And it may take some time. But I'm going to invite you to have whatever layers related to this that are available to be addressed now, to greet that, to meet that, to welcome that. What if your purpose was not rooted in having to be in fear, live in fear, come from fear itself? And what if that was actually the most practical thing there was? Which ironically is the true essence of natural healthy fear. It's not meant to you for you to personally be in fear. It's meant to offer you practical energy. It's meant to offer you practicality of not having to live in constant fear and constant anxiety. It's meant for that to arise when it's pertinent and to go when it's not. But if we carry the societal, cultural, familial messages around having to live in fear, and we get perceived additional perceptions around that, around vaccinations telling us, indoctrinating us to live in deep, deep fear, creating a biological necessity for it, it sets the stage for something different to happen other than the true essence of fear, which is, again, is just about simple practicality. As I begin to slowly come off of my little soapbox there, we're unhooking a bundle of beliefs related to this idea that you have to live in fear. Deep, deep fear. And it's coming off of the back of the heart, but on the top of the heart, the upper heart, but on the back body. And if you will, imagine my hands once again coming in through this screen, holding your upper back. And I'm going to hold that collapsed energy down so it doesn't have to hold you down here anymore. And you get to see what's underneath that as I hold that down for you. And check that new upper back body out. Give it a little bit of movement. Breathe into it. Check it out. Get to know what's possible here if it didn't have to hold the tension that it's been used to, because I've got it. And noticing anything in particular that feels good. Or that's opening, or that's a bit more spacious than it was before. And if there's a sense of pleasure, joy, relief, goodness here, drinking it in and recognizing it for its true essence, this is love. This is love. All the things that feel good here are love. If there's some things that aren't quite feeling so good yet, it's love in disguise. It's got some other things it needs to work through before it's ready to quite get to this place, and that's okay too. And anything else that feels not quite opening or spacious or pleasurable or relieving, I'm going to invite that to also be honored similarly by linking in all of our senses, bringing in awareness, bringing in senses. Bringing in sensuality to it so it can be seen, understood, heard, witnessed, and valued and loved in a different way. So it's not wrong or bad, it's just undigested. It has more information for us. So it's not about running away from that stuff or pushing it away. It's actually by means of welcoming it, listening to it, hearing it. And I don't know about you, but that happens a lot more willingly when I feel like I'm welcome versus when I'm like, get the fuck away from me. This isn't okay. Stop this shit now. And as we do this, we also begin to end the cycles of abuse. We become a cycle breaker from our family lines, from society, from culture that says otherwise. And we're linking all of this now to House 12, releasing, surrendering, allowing, making space, and clearing out anything that no longer serves the body through this liver meridian, toxin, getting processed along with toxic karmic energies, patterns that are present around, again, this idea that you are meant to live in fear itself. And then we're linking that all the way through to birth, through gestation, through to the point of conception and creation itself. And again, releasing this fear of leaving the old formlessness to come into form, leaving and transitioning in that way was actually also not meant to be a fearful process. It was simply a different state change. It was a transition. As we do this, releasing existential fear itself from an area deep below the navel into the hara, the area where your life force energy is meant to flow from, giving you vitality and health and wealth internally. And imagine that by means of breathing, we can create some spaciousness around that area deep within the navel, deep in the hara, deep in the sexual chakra, if that's easier to locate and grab onto, call it that. As you welcome this deep life force energy by means of breathing and creating some spaciousness here for it, I'm invited to get a little bit bigger if there's space for that. And allowing for it to get as big as it can, as it desires, as it wishes to, in the next coming few minutes, hours even, if you stay with this practice throughout the day. And offering its expansion to come as big as it wants to. It doesn't actually have to hold itself back anymore. You're ready for it. And as the body-mind softens into this energy of pleasure, of the essence of you, of your life force energy itself, running circulation of all the healing resources to this life force energy to continue to nourish it just as it nourishes us. And not so much that we need to feed it, but more so as an opportunity to connect with it in a way that's nourishing, in a way that you can tangibly, potentially, more so energetically, but potentially tangibly, sink your teeth into. For those of you that are wired to pick up the more subtle energies, for those of you not so much, don't worry about it. That's not going to maybe be as tangible, and that's okay. And as you work with this, running the permission statement here, it's safe to open up to what feels good now. It's safe to open up to what feels good now. It's safe to open up to what feels good now. I'm going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive, however feels right for you here. I'm going to invite you to steepen that. And if there's a desire to bring that resource from earlier, welcoming that to be here with you. I'm noticing the time, so I'm going to actually play one of my shorter songs. It's from the album Selva Sagrada. It's by Prophel. The song is called Kissing Flowers. Kissing Flowers. So I invite you to breathe and receive all that feels good here. Thank you for calling this medicine in, and thank you for the opportunity to be together in this way. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and the deepest of thank yous to those, again, that have caretaken, that have stewarded these lands. Thank you for being here exactly as you are, and thank you for the medicine of you. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. You're most welcome to everyone in the chat feature. Wishing you all a beautiful rest of your day and week ahead. Bye for now, y'all. Feel free to stick around if you need additional support or anything. Bye, loves. Blessings in the rest of your day and week ahead. Yeah, you're most welcome. Oh, I love that. When you think you're at the bottom, you hear a knock from the depths again, and you realize it was only a respite. Yes. It's beautiful. Thank you for that, love. Okay. Bye for now.